This morning I invite your attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 11. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Today is the 21st day of the month of January, 2018. For many years, there was a study done as to how you go about developing good habits. On top of that, how you go about breaking bad ones. It was commonly said in psychology that it takes 21 days to make a good habit. But you got to do it 21 consecutive days, back to back to back to back to back. And the same way with breaking bad habits. Well, the philosophy has now changed in psychology. The word now is that if it's easy to do, yes, it takes 21 days. But if it's something that's really, really challenging, it takes a lot more time. And of course, all these statistics change from time and place and depending on who you ask and where you read. As a matter of fact, just give you a piece of trivial information, they're now saying if it's really hard to break a bad habit or to really develop this practice that you want to for a long, long time, like New Year's resolutions, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to not do this or do that, they say it takes 66 consecutive days. Now again, who said that and who determines that? The idea is life basically is built upon habits, is it not? Practices, the continuation of doing something repetitive over and over and over and over and over. For example, I'll give you one particular statistic that we're talking about. 21 days if you do this simple thing like get up in the morning, every morning, and the first thing you do besides get out of bed and put your shoes on, your clothes, or whatever, take a bath, says go get you a drink of water. Okay. First thing you do is just get up and go take a drink of water. By the way, it's a good health benefit, they say, because it actually helps your organs start to function. Just take a drink of water. Actually, 2 cups, 2 8-ounce glasses of water, or 1 16-ounce. The idea is just get up and make that a practice. Okay? How many of you have a routine? We call it a routine. Okay, my routine is to get up and go make coffee and drink a cup of coffee, and then you can talk to me. Okay, that's my routine. Okay, well, it's a habit. Okay, and maybe you've got your idiosyncrasy, we call it, or your habit. Okay, well, habit, while it's not, that word's not found anywhere in the Bible, by the way, but the synonyms for habits are. And so I go to Proverbs 20 and verse 11 because it uses the illustration of children to say, now, this is true of adults, is the implication. But this being true of adults, this is even true of children. It goes from the human family almost from birth to the grave, as we say. Even a child, Proverbs 20:11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. And that's all that verse says. That doesn't mean that that says everything that a person needs to know about habits, but it is a verse about habits or what one does as a matter of life. For example, the word doings there in Hebrew, the Hebrew word meant what is your practice. It is the Hebrew word for what is your practice of life. If I were to ask you, what do you do for a living? Notice I said the word do. What do you do for a living? Well, this is my practice of what I do for a living. You know, mechanic or electrician or doctor or pharmacist or whatever. This is what I do. Even a child is known, is recognized by his doings. In other words, you see a person doing something over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you think, well, that's just who they are. They are as they practice. Now, that may say one thing, but they are exactly like they do. Okay, now, here are 2 statements that I found that are actually attributed to Aristotle. Long before Jesus ever came on this planet, there was a man by the name of Aristotle, Greek philosopher. Okay, and these are 2 roughly, you know, given statements that Aristotle made to all of those who would ever listen to him. Number one, we are, in other words, our reality about us, we are what we repeatedly do. That's what we are. Now, we may say something totally different, but deep down inside, we are what we do on a repetition basis. Second, excellence is not an act. It is not one time doing it. Excellence is a habit. Would you agree to that? In other words, here's a person who says, I made straight A's. Well, the question is, can you do it again? Can you do it the next 6 weeks or 9 weeks? Well, I made straight A's 2 times in a row. Can you do it again? In other words, what if it's a, well, I met a goal, but I don't need to even think about that goal anymore. You know, I've marked that off my bucket list. I made straight A's 1 time in my life. By the way, what'd you make before you graduated? Well, I didn't make the honor roll anymore, but by the way, I'm a straight A student. Are you a straight A student if you only did it 1 time? Is that excellence? By the way, excellence was sort of what straight A's was, right? A, excellent, B, good, C, fair, D, poor, F. We don't want to go there, right? Excellence is not a one-time act. It's a habit. How would that apply to Christianity? How would that apply to living the Christian life? Well, I was faithful 1 time in my life. And since I was faithful 1 time in my life, I'm just ready to die. It doesn't matter what I live. By the way, folks, that's once saved, always saved. What is excellence? If you just took the word excellence out and put the word faithful, what is faithful? Is that just a one-time act, or is that a habit of life? Can a husband look at his wife and say, that is a faithful wife? And what does that mean? Or that's a faithful husband? Or that's a faithful church member? What does that mean? It's a practice, isn't it? You know, it's walking in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus keeps on cleansing. Well, what does walking in the light mean? Does it mean 1 step? Does it mean 2 steps and quit? 3 steps and quit? What does walking mean? It's a practice, right? And therefore we say it's developing the habit. This is now who I am because this is my life. Okay? So we're going to talk about now 3 spiritual things. First one is, obviously, the continuation in learning. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's all you need to do. Just make sure you get them in the water. Leave them alone. What does verse 20 say? Teaching them. Who's the them? Those that you have taught and they've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them now to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. By the way, observe 1 time in my life? No, observe every time the opportunity avails you. Whether it be a worship service or whether it be a moral life or a righteous life, every day that you live. Folks, we're not followers of Christ just on Sunday. We're not compartmentalizing the Christian life, right? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Well, what is that? How many days does that imply? It implies all your days. For me to live every day is Christ, and to die, whatever the day of death is, to die is gain. So we don't compartmentalize Christ. We don't live, we live for Christ because Christ is our life. By the way, Colossians 3 says that. Did you know that in your Bible? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, verse 4 says, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So who is your life when you become a Christian? It is not I that live, right? But Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. That's just a statement of Paul. That is what a Christian is. A Christian is not something that a person says he is. A Christian is known by his doings. He's known by his practice. He's known by his habits. Okay? And one of the life practices of a Christian is to keep on learning. Keep on learning. Last week when I was down at the Florida School of Preaching lectures, there's a lot of young men down there, former students and current students. And they would come up to me and say, Brother Clark, what is your study habits and what's your routine on a day-to-day and a weekly basis? I said, well, it depends. When I first started preaching, I sort of had a schedule of how I wanted my days to be. But here's what I've learned about our brotherhood. They don't always work on your time schedule. And so you got to be flexible. You got to know what your projects are, and you got to know what your timeline is, and you've got to make sure you meet your deadline, so to speak. And so I have sort of a habit of how I do my week, but the fact of the matter is, studying is just sort of what I do. And by the way, studying not just to get up Bible classes and bulletin articles and sermon outlines. I have learned by just reading my Bible, this helps me. I'm not here to study to help you. And if it helps me, I'm pretty sure it'll help somebody else. That's my habit. By the way, I was taught that many, many years ago. Study your Bible for yourself first. By the way, I would say that to every Sunday school teacher here in this room. Study your Bible for you, to help you. Because by the way, God made us, He knows how we operate, He knows what's best for us, and this is how He communicates to us. So study your Bible for you. And if you find it helps you, share that with somebody. And by the way, sharing with someone's called teaching. Okay? So continue their learning. We'll come back to this. Second thing a Christian does is he keeps on loving. By the way, there was a time when we all learned how to love the world, didn't we? And then the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Neither the things are in the world. Why? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I've got to stop a practice of loving the world and now develop this practice of loving the Father. And what does that mean? And 1 John 2:16 tells us. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's not of the Father, that's of the world. So these things have to be crucified. You know, crucify your members that are upon the earth, Colossians 3:5. Also, you know, they that are Christ have crucified the affections and the lusts thereof, Galatians chapter 4. And so chapter 5, I believe about verse 24, 25. You can check me on that. But the concept is what? Not only will I keep on learning, I'm going to keep on loving what this book tells me I am now to love. And, I guess, controversy, I'm not going to love what this book says not to love. And now, number three, I am to make sure that I keep my loyalty. When a person becomes a Christian, he used to be loyal to whom? Satan, right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 talks about who are taken captive of him by his will. In other words, Satan wants God's people to follow him so that he knows what God will do to them. And he deceives the mind. And so you can claim to be a child of God all you want to. You can say, well, I was baptized on January 26, 1970. But if you don't live like a child of God, to be loyal to this cause in which you have embraced, even a child is known by his doings. And therefore, a Christian is known by his practice. Not a one-time thing, by his practice. Okay? So let's talk about the idea of learning. There are hundreds, probably scores of passages in the Bible that have to do with continual learning. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, what does that make you? Not if you started and then quit. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And then there's this word, indeed. The word indeed there literally means truly, truly. You ever heard the expression, verily, verily, I say unto you? All right, that's all over the Gospel of John. The Greek word for verily, verily, by the way, that's the same one word. The word is amen. By the way, you didn't know you knew a Greek word when you say the word amen at the end of prayers. While it's an English word, it's actually come straight. Actually, it's a Hebrew word that came over into the Greek that came into English. It means so be it. So be it. As this prayer is prayed according to your will, so let it be done. Verily, verily, truly, truly. Okay? So the concept is, you are my disciples indeed. What? if you continue in my word. And what's the conduct or the product that comes from that conduct? You'll know the truth. And what does the truth do for you? The truth will make you free. By the way, we all want the product, right? We all want the freedom that comes from the truth. Well, how do you maintain that product of freedom that comes from truth? You got to continue in my word. By the way, if you read John 8:44, they didn't do that. You read John 6:66, from that point, many of his disciples walked no more with him. They didn't continue in it. So how does that make them free? They go right back into bondage, spiritual bondage. How about Acts 2:42? You know, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they said, that's all I need to do. That's all I need to know and do. What's verse 42 say? And they refers to the 3,000 just been baptized. They continued, and not just continued, what does the next word say? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. What do you mean? We want to know more about this. We want to learn more about this. We came here following the law of Moses on the day of Pentecost, and now we've learned we crucified the Son of God, and now we've been set free from our sin, remission of sins, by repenting and being baptized into Christ. We want to know more about this. You ever known of someone that had a major physical illness and someone recommends they study? You know, here's something that they're doing studies on that will help people that suffer like what you're suffering with, and they start reading about it, and they start maybe applying some of that information, if it has to do with medicines or whatever, or lifestyle changes, whatever. Next thing, they get to feeling better. Do they want to know more about that? Do they want to learn more about, hey, this is working. This is helping my life. And by the way, once they see it affect their life, do they want to share it with somebody else that's suffering with the same problems? It's sort of a natural thing to do, right? Well, what about learning? I don't want to just learn for myself. I want to keep continually learning so that what? I might be able to help somebody else. What does James 1:25 say about hearing? You know, there are those that hear and straightway, like a person looking in a mirror, forgets what manner of person he is, goes his way. But that's not the person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. He being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, what is he? This man is blessed in his deed. In other words, I want to know more about the Bible. One of the questions that a young preacher down in Florida would ask me, he said, Brother Clark, in your estimation, what is our brotherhood as a whole week in the study of the Bible? I said, Old Testament. Old Testament. And then probably, let's throw in the book of Revelation in there. And by the way, to know the book of Revelation is to have a background knowledge of the books of the Old Testament, really. I mean, if I were to say, okay, how many of you know Genesis 1:1? Okay? How many of you know Genesis 2:24 and 25? Or at least verse 24. For this cause shall a man leave father, mother, cleave his wife, two shall be one flesh. How many of you know the 23rd Psalm? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, selective passages. How many of you know what is the purpose of the book of Habakkuk? So now you've gotten off into something I'm not as familiar with, like the 23rd Psalm and so forth. How many of you in reading your Bible, you're in January, and you're in Genesis probably. Maybe you're almost to Exodus. Okay. How many of you are already dreading 1 Chronicles? It's like, you know, now I get the accounts here in Genesis, and I've read those a lot. I know about Noah and the Ark and the Tower of Babel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph being sold in Egypt. Okay, but let me tell you something. Chronicles, that's just not my forte. By the way, why did God then put it in there if it's not in there for a reason? By the way, the first chapter of Matthew is a genealogy. You know what the first chapter of 1 Chronicles is? A genealogy. What's genealogies about? It was to bring the promised Messiah into the world. That's what genealogies was about. Now, we don't follow genealogies. It's not about genealogies. It's about those that walk by the faith of Abraham, not having the flesh of Abraham. By the way, all Gentiles didn't have the flesh of Abraham anyway, So we're glad it's not by flesh, right? But by faith. Well, the concept is what? This man is blessed in his deed. What's 2 Timothy 3:14-17? By the way, you know 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profit of doctrine, proof, creation, instruction, right? Man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped, or furnished to every good work. What's verse 14 say? Paul says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If every person in here took verse 15 to heart, everybody in this room would be a diligent, habitual Bible student every day of your life. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. You do it every day. That verse says a person who's really wise is a person who knows the Bible. Short and sweet. The person who's really wise is the person who knows the Bible. I'm not meaning acquainted with it. I mean knows it. Knows it. You ever seen a child read Harry Potter's books and then watch all the movies and critique the movie based upon what the books actually said? Do you reckon they know the books? You ever seen a kid read all the Star Wars books and then watch the movie? Well, the movie's wrong and here and here. And how do you know that? Well, because the book says this and this is what they made the movie. How about watching the movie The Ten Commandments? You ever seen Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments? You know, Charlton Heston as Moses. How many of you look at that and say, well, that can't be right. The Bible don't teach that. How do you know that, someone says? By the way, how many of you, as you're going in college, you say, I don't want to read the book, I'm going to wait till the movie comes out. I'd much rather watch the movie than ever read the book. And then you say, well, if you'd read the book, the movie would make a lot more sense. As a matter of fact, the book's a lot better than the movie. You ever heard anybody tell you that? The book's a lot better than the movie. Guess what? You won't get a better book than the Bible. This makes you wise unto salvation. By the way, that's the real goal of human living, salvation of your soul. And this is the only book that teaches that, how to go from here to heaven. And that's wisdom. Oh, that book's dry. That book's old. That book's not relevant. Matter of fact, that book was written by men. It's got so many errors in it, no one would even give any credibility to it. And that's the way our world talks about the Bible. And do we wonder why the world is filled with so many problems that it does, the way it discredits the Bible itself? Even a child is known by his practice, his doings. Well, what about a Christian? Take the word child out, put Christian in there. Even a Christian is known by his practice. This is the practice. The Bible is the practice. It's what you continually live off of. Man doesn't live by bread only. How does he live? How does he live? By every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's not a trite statement. You know, that's not, you know, something like what Aristotle said. Our Lord said that and quoted Moses. Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8:3. So let's move on. Loving. Many, many passages in the Bible says you're to love what God loves, you're to hate what God hates. By the way, hate carries with the idea of to abhor it. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Love what is good. John 15:9, Jesus says, even as the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Continue ye in my love. He's not saying they weren't already in it. He's saying, it's well and good that you have been with me, that you love me like you love the Father, and I've shown you the Father, and I love the Father, and the Father loves me. Now you need to keep on continuing in the love that I taught you. By the way, in the context of John 15, within 24 hours, he will be dead. When he said that in John 15:9, in 24 hours or less, he will be dead. His body will be in the grave. 3 days later, he'll be resurrected. In a matter of a few days, he'll be on high. He'll be in heaven. You got to keep on continuing in my love. I've taught you how to do it. I've even shown you how to do it. You got to keep on doing this. John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples. How? Because you believe the Bible and you can quote it word for word. Well, that's important, but What's the verse say? By this shall all men know you are my disciples, that you love one another. What do you find unique in the world? The church, the household of God. And what does the household of God do? Well, at one time I used to love the church, but I don't care a flip about the church anymore. That's not a Christian. Even a child is known by his doings, whether it be pure, whether it be right. Even a Christian is known by his practice, whether it be pure and whether it be right. The principle applies all the way across any concept. What is it, the nature of it? You will continue. What does Hebrews 13:1 say? Let brotherly love. Short verse, by the way. Everybody here can memorize it today, right now. Let brotherly love continue. Four words. One verse in the Bible is four words. About as easy as Jesus wept. Let brotherly love continue. Who's he talking to in Hebrews? People have probably been Christians for a good long while. By the way, in Acts 2:42, did they love one another? Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship? Did they take those that had for those that were needed? Did they sell what they had to help those that were in need? Absolutely. Read Acts 2:46. Praising God, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should or were being saved. These people love one another. They want to be around one another. And now you're looking a couple of decades in the future. He says, let brotherly love continue. Make this the continual part of your life. 1 John 3:14. How do we know that we have been brought from death unto life? We love one another. He that says he doesn't love his brother abides in death. Oh, now, Brother Clark, I've been baptized into Christ. Oh, Brother Clark, I believe that Christ is the Son of God, and I turned away from my past sins, and, you know, and I made the noble confession. You know, I can tell you the day. I can tell you the place I was baptized into Christ. You don't know the kind of folks I've had to put up with in the church. Well, maybe not. By the way, we all got to put up with one another, don't we? It's called forgiving and forbearing in love, Ephesians 4 says. But the bottom line is, you know you've passed from death unto life if you love the brethren. See, this is your new family. See, we're doubly blessed if you have your flesh and blood family also in your spiritual family. You are really doubly blessed. But if you don't have a single family member in your fleshly line who's a member of the Lord's church because they've not obeyed the gospel like you have, let me tell you something. You still have a family. And in many ways, it's probably a greater family than even your own flesh and blood. Your flesh and blood family may criticize you for having obeyed the gospel. Your spiritual family won't criticize you for that. They'll love you for it. Last of all, loyalty. I'm just going to look at several of these, but I'll cite some of them. Acts 13:43, Acts 14:22. When Paul is in that first missionary journey now, he talks about that we must continue in this kingdom, even though we're going to suffer persecution or tribulation, like Acts 14:22. Romans 11:22, here's a person like this vine. The wild vine is grafted into the original trunk. By the way, that's the Gentiles grafted into the vine. The natural branch would be the Jew. And if the Jew forbade or would not do the will of God, God would prune that vine. And what if a Gentile obeyed the gospel, would be grafted in, though it be a wild olive branch? And then he talks to the Gentiles, you know, don't be heady and high-minded about the fact that you're in and some of these Jews are out. He says, if you know, behold the goodness and the severity of God, the goodness of God is to those that do what? Continue. Those, the severity of God, those that do not continue, basically. Look at Colossians 4 and verse 2. It talks about continuing in prayer. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to thyself, to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt do what? Save thyself and them that hear thee. The Bible is explicit with passages on keep on doing. It's not a one-time act. And therefore, as a child is known by his doings or practice, whether it's pure, whether it's right. So the Christian is known by his practice, his doing, whether it be pure or whether it be right. If you're here today and you need to be right with God, being baptized into Christ, start this journey, the greatest journey of your life. This old pilgrimage life that we're living now, this pilgrimage is headed to a greater destination as a Christian. It's heaven. Knowing that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. And because of that, the Christian groans, earnestly desiring to be clothed with his house, which is from heaven, verse 2. Is that your desire today? Go to heaven more than life. Or you need to come back to your first love. You say, I understand what you're saying. I've been out. Even Barbara Breeding was talking to Larry Swindell and myself Sunday night after, while everybody was doing donuts, we was back here in the classroom. And she says, I know what I need to do, and I need prayers. You know, we all face what we call our demons in life, don't we? Here's what I know I need to be doing, and I know I'm not doing it. Which of you could say that this morning? Then be like a Barbara Breeding. Be like a lot of folks who, as we say, I have left my first love. Revelation 2, verse 5. Repent and do thy first works. And that's what evidently we hope the church at Ephesus did in Revelation 2. Whether they did or not, it's still the best thing. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. That's the greatness of the gospel. If you need to be baptized today, or you need to have the prayers of the church, we're here to assist you in any way. While together, we stand and sing.